This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And listen here to the white mayor of New York City, married to a black woman with a mixed-race son, speaking to the people of his city.
It's a phrase that should never have to be said. It should be self-evident. But our history, sadly, requires us to say that black lives matter.
Black lives matter. Mayor Bill de Blasio last night seizes the one note of absolute clarity as once again the court system fills an American city with noisy confusion about race, law enforcement tactics, grand juries, and justice. As you heard, a grand jury in Staten Island voted not to issue an indictment in the death of Eric Garner, killed as the result of his chest being compressed and his neck held in a chokehold. That's according to the coroner last July. We begin with this Ferguson flashback in the Big Apple. This is what it sounded like on the streets of New York last night, ironically, as tourists watched the Christmas tree lighting across town at Rockefeller Center.
I can't breathe! I can't breathe!
No indictment is denial!
We want to go to trial!
No indictment is denial!
We want to go to trial!
No indictment! Hands up!
Don't shoot!
I'm disgusted and embarrassed by our New York City government and NYPD. Here's a man who has been in trouble several times before. He's not a newbie on the force. He's done this kind of thing before. People have sued because of this man, yet he remains on the force, an embarrassment to the men and women who are trying to do good.
Voices on the streets of New York talking about the Eric Garner case. Let's hear once again the voice of the widow of Eric Garner, who is astounded by the grand jury's decision yesterday not to indict the men who, on video, can be seen choking and on top of her husband last July in an arrest attempt that resulted in his death.
My husband's death will not be in vain. As long as I have a breath in my body, I will fight the fight to the end.
But what is the fight? Will the peace in New York City be sustained? That's something we can all be thankful for today. And what now? With me now in the studio, Brian Lehrer, host of The Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC, our producing partner, and Kai Wright, editor-at-large of Color Lines. Welcome to you both.
Hi, John. Hi, Kai.
So this is a huge sort of community issue in the city of New York. It raises issues across the nation. What do you think is the headline here, Brian?
Well, arguably, at the risk of being provocative, this is much worse than the Ferguson decision.
I agree.
I have already had multiple callers who say they actually came to support the Ferguson decision, given the facts, but are outraged by this case. In this case, you had a guy who was not being sought in a robbery and hot pursuit. He was just a guy selling loose cigarettes on the street. He was not being aggressive with the police officers before his arrest. Like Michael Brown was trying to get Darren Wilson's gun, Garner was keeping his distance, arguing, pleading not to be arrested again for this small offense, a tax violation, really. He was not a flight risk. There was no suspicion that he was armed. The chokehold was against police policy. And as you just replayed, he was repeatedly saying on the ground, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, and the officer did not ease up. These are arguably much worse facts than in Ferguson.
And those are, comments from people that spoke on your program last night, guests that you had on the program last night, and the details about what Michael Brown allegedly did came out of the grand jury proceeding there in Ferguson. We have no details of what came out of the grand jury hearing in Staten Island. This raises the question of how New York police deal with these minor offenses. That what you saw on that video, aside from the horrific death of Eric Garner, is the way cops aggressively deal with people who are apparently not doing much in the way of crime.
Yeah, and it's something that has been exported around the country, this idea that you respond big to small things and that's going to keep things from getting out of control. That was the idea. And I think, you know, to note what one of the protesters said about Officer Pantaleo, who was the arresting officer who had the chokehold on Eric Garner, he was actually doing his job. WNYC has reported, He is a standout officer in terms of his number of arrests for small offenses. That's what cops do in a broken windows policing system. They go big on small offenses. And that's what Eric Garner had been arrested 8 times for selling 75-cent cigarettes. And so that kind of interaction continually, that kind of ongoing harassment leads to these bigger problems over and over and over again. And it's that idea that I think we really have to start talking
about. Did de Blasio address that in his speech last night, the question of we're going to change the way police deal with people?
Mayor de Blasio listed off a number of reforms, and I think what you're hearing is an idea that we can tweak this in the margins. There are things we can do to this policing idea that make it safer and that make it less aggressive. But he and Commissioner Bill Bratton did not challenge the national consensus now that effective policing means being really aggressive on small things, largely in black neighborhoods.
Now, this is going to sound, you know, maybe schmaltzy and weird, but my 15-year-old daughter last night came home in tears, hysterical over this decision.
Sure.
She says all of her best friends since she was like, you know, seven are black. She didn't know how to talk to them. She didn't know what to say. She was, I mean, we had to sit her down and calm her down last night.
People all over America who have not seen the videotape should watch the videotape.
Yep.
And start to come to their own conclusions. I mean, one of the defenses that apparently is emerging that I guess the grand jury heard is that the officer believed that Garner could breathe precisely because he was saying he couldn't breathe, that if you can't breathe, you can't talk, repeating a phrase over and over again, I can't breathe. But it so goes against the emotion that anybody's going to feel and the perception that almost anybody's going to have watching that videotape. It's just something that everybody should see for themselves and come to their own conclusion.
And there's a systemic question here of how this video evidence conflicts with the process and, you know, the jury of the wider sort of community conflicts with whatever went on in that grand jury proceeding. I want to play some of the comments that were on your program last night, Brian. And these are some of the comments that were in support of the grand jury's decision.
If this police officer did not intend to hurt him, then I don't think an indictment should be brought, you know, down.
The cops on Staten Island are equal opportunity guys. They pull us all over. They harass all of us. I never get a break from them.
It's just like, you know, the cops tells you to put your hands in your back or whatever. You just do it. They have this notion that you could, you know, they could fight with everybody, you know. It doesn't work that way.
I feel that, you know, with this whole race stuff going on now, that if it was the guy was white and he was a white cop, that they wouldn't have blown this up as much as they did. I just think that because they're pulling this whole race card thing.
That's reporting from producing partner WNYC. Your team, Brian, really getting a sense from Staten Island that they're supporting this decision.
Well, we know that there is a massive difference between white perception and black perception in this country. Romney won whites by 20 points, even though Obama was elected pretty overwhelmingly in terms of electoral votes in this country and total votes. There is a massive, and Kai Wright, I don't have to tell you, there is a massively different perception among whites and blacks, and that's what we heard in that clip. The fact that Eric Garner was a large black man, I don't know if you can prove to a jury or grand jury that that was a factor in Officer Pantaleo's perception. It certainly looked like it was in Ferguson.
But this isn't about proof. It's about probable cause.
That's all that was required to move
probable
the indictment
cause.
Probable cause. But, I mean, you know, to on the question of perception, the reason why there's a huge difference in how black and white people perceive these issues is because there's a huge difference in how we have lived them. And experience with police officers. If you live in a black neighborhood in New York City, you have been witness to, you either have experienced it yourself or you have watched on a relatively routine basis NYPD harassing people over really small things in really aggressive ways. And so it is immediately resonant. When I watch Eric Garner's frustration in that video, it is immediately resonant to me. It doesn't seem at all strange that he would say, hey, listen, I'm sick of this. You bother me like this every single day.
But are you saying that whites in the city of New York look at that video and don't think, most of them, that there's probable cause to do something to those officers?
I don't know that you could look at that video and feel that way, but
it's probable cause. It's like, yeah, something happened, folks. Explain it. The grand jury didn't do that.
But listen, so I have stood in front of my subway stop and been told, move along. You can't stand here. It is inconceivable that I would be standing in front of a subway stop in Park Slope, a white neighborhood in Brooklyn, and be told that. I've never experienced that outside of my neighborhood.
But
if you don't live in that kind of neighborhood, you may have a different relationship with police.
But here's the other side of that perception. People and more white people than black people, are going to give police officers the benefit of the doubt when they're doing their jobs and trying to protect the public and not intending to harm anyone, as the officer didn't seem to be intending to harm Eric Garner here. And then when a resist situation is taking place, as it was in Ferguson, but he was resisting, then accidents, tragic accidents like this might happen. But, that's the other argument.
But that was the crazy thing on your show last night. Somebody said it wasn't like he woke up and said, I'm going to go kill a black man today, as though that's the test. That if you just sort of are in the course of your job, kill a black man, it's okay if you're a cop. But if you decide in the morning when you wake up and put on your Ku Klux Klan hat, yes, or something, that's the test. That was driving me crazy on your show.
But as a matter of politics, that's what most of white America probably thinks is the test. Look at the Wall Street Journal editorial page today where they say the bottom line is a man was resisting arrest. He caused it.
And as a matter of policy,
you have a constitutional right to resist arrest by saying, hey, don't touch me.
No, but physically resisting.
Okay, great.
And as a matter of policy, the officer did wake up and say, I'm going to do my job today, which is to go into the 120th precinct and find people to harass for petty crimes in really aggressive ways. That's what he did wake up to do. And if that is the policy, if that's what you're doing every day, eventually it's going to lead to dangerous confrontations.
Can we end on a process question here? Both of you are more sophisticated on this than I am. Is it possible that the Staten Island DA just basically did not want to deal with this, did not want to deal with all those people from Staten Island who are pro-cop and just wanted to punt this to Eric Holder and the feds, basically to have them take care of it?
Plainly, I don't think there's any I think from the prosecutor through the mayor, everyone is very eager for the federal government to take control of this in New York City.
On the other hand, DA in Staten Island is an elected position. It's a largely white borough, more conservative than the rest of New York City.
So the DA has a vested interest, sure, in not getting an indictment.
Arguably, we haven't heard him speak yet. He thought that there should be no indictment. It was in his interest for there to be no indictment, and he led the grand jury in that direction, arguably.
Well, if this is a case that is certainly going to persist here in the city of New York, we are, of course, blessed with the peaceful reaction. But the protests, I think, will continue, and there will be many more consequences here. Brian Lehrer, host of The Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Thanks, Brian. And Kai Wright, always great to talk to you, editor-at-large at Color Lines.
Thanks.
Thanks, John.